You're listening to On Design on Monocle 24, brought to you by the team behind Section D, Monocle 24's dedicated design show. I'm your host, Henry Rees-Sheridan. In each episode, we profile a person, survey a place, or unpick an idea that's changing or challenging the design industry today. Covering everything from typography to buildings, the show dedicates a few minutes to delving deeper into the past, present, and future of the design world. This week, I'm stepping up to the plate to tell you how industrial design made the Fender Telecaster the world's first commercially successful electric guitar. Once upon a time, you dressed so fine, threw the bumps of dime in your prime.
The gypsy woman told my mother, before I was born,
I left my home in Georgia, headed for the Frisco Bay.
A pretty diverse musical montage there, but all of those songs have something in common. They feature at least one Fender Telecaster, one of the world's most recognisable looking and sounding electric guitars. The Telecaster is now one among many popular electric guitar options. The big four, arguably, are Fender Stratocaster and Telecaster, and the SG and Les Paul models from Nashville's Gibson. But the Telecaster predates all those others. And while it wasn't the world's first electric guitar, it was the world's first commercially successful solid-bodied version. Guitar players have been wiring up their acoustic instruments to amplify them since the 1920s. But hollow or semi-hollow instruments were prone to cause jarring acoustic feedback at high volumes. Realising the potential of an electrified solid body instrument, Leo Fender, a radio repair person turned guitar manufacturer, designed a prototype in 1949. After a teething period, this turned into the Fender Telecaster. It hit stores in 1951 and soon took off like no other electric guitar before. And a lot of that success had to do with the fact that it was the first to be produced through what we'd recognise today as a modern industrial design process. Its modular construction meant the Telecaster could be made en masse in an assembly line. This six-string Fordism stood in stark contrast to the artisanal techniques of traditional guitar makers, known as luthiers, who painstakingly made their strummers start to finish and one by one. This made the instrument quick and cheap to make, but it also made it easy to maintain and repair. Warp necks could simply be removed and replaced, and the guitar circuitry could be accessed by simply unscrewing a removable repair plate, an incomparably less frustrating experience than having to fish around for wires through the sound holes cut into the top of acoustic and semi-acoustic instruments. The Telecaster's flat, no-frills body has endeared itself to generations of guitarists and sticks out compared to the curves of its younger brother, the Stratocaster, and Gibson's SG and Les Paul guitars. But this utilitarian shape was the result of a utilitarian industrial decision, cutting the bodies out of templates from slabs of wood for speed and economy, rather than hand-carving them. An effective marketing and distribution network ensured the Telecaster's rapid spread from its home in Southern California all the way to the East Coast. Eventually, it made its way over the Atlantic in the hands of touring American blues musicians. Here, it inspired the then teenage pioneers of the British invasion. Keith Richards, Jeff Beck, and George Harrison among them, who travelled back across the Atlantic, tellies in hand, with their own groups in the 1960s. The Telecaster has gone through dozens of iterations since it first graced the stages of Southern California in the early 1950s. It's also faced competition from later electric guitar models, incorporating its innovations, not to mention the hundreds of copycat manufacturers who quite flagrantly flog ersatz versions. But it's endured, winning over converts in generation after generation of guitarists, and finding new applications in genres of music that didn't even exist when it was invented. The Telecaster was the first in a line of electric guitar and bass innovations that ensured Leo Fender's posthumous induction into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame in 1992. His genius may have benefited from a degree of detachment from his designs. He never did learn to play guitar. You've been listening to On Design, a Monocle 24 production from the team behind Section D. You can listen to the full half-hour show on Tuesdays at 1900 London time, or download the podcast anytime you like. And remember, if you can't wait, there are always more delights to uncover in the design pages of Monocle magazine. Thanks for listening, and goodbye.